Lesson number 11 of this progressive class number 5, which is entitled, How Do I Live It? And lesson 11 is entitled, The Equality of Faith, Rahab, which is taken from Hebrews 11:31. The Equality of Faith, Rahab. Let's begin our class with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord God, that you are a God who does not wait for us to clean ourselves up and to make ourselves right before you will embrace us and love us and receive us. But you, Lord God, as was even preached this morning, you descended in the form, in the person of your Son, and became just like us, yet without sin. Not to come for a bride again that had cleansed herself, that had made herself right, but you came to cleanse your bride, to make her right, by giving to her the gift of your righteousness and by taking her sin upon yourself, by paying the full penalty for it upon the cross, and by having victory over death, even being raised from the dead on the third day and ascending into heaven and going and preparing a place. Lord, as we look at the faith that you gave to Rahab, the prostitute, which is a picture of us, Lord, may we see your faithfulness and may our faith increase, producing love for you and love for others. In Jesus' name, amen. The Equality of Faith, Rahab, Hebrews 11:31. Beginning in Hebrews with our focus verses for the whole class number 5, the whole How Do I Live It series of classes from Hebrews chapter 11, first reading verses 1 and 2. And then verse 6, and then jumping to our focus verse, which is Hebrews 11:31. Hebrews 11:1-2. Now faith is the assurance of what we hope for. Let me start again. I'm in the wrong version. I apologize. Hebrews 11:1. I was just in the wrong version, so I'm... Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And there are many different versions, but I'm reading from the NASB. There's other well-written versions. For by it, verse 2, for by faith the men of old gained approval. And especially today, where we see it said here, by it the men of old gained approval, our focus will be on a woman of old. And that's why we see the title of our lesson, The Equality of Faith. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And now, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. We're also going to read from Joshua, a little bit of an expanded passage from what is written there. So we'd like to read Joshua 2, verses 1 through 21. So if someone would like to read that and share that, and whoever gets there and would like to read, just go ahead and start. If not, when I get there, I'll start. Joshua 2, we want to read verses 1 through 21, which covers a good portion of the account. Janet?
And Joshua the son of Nun set out from the kitchen with two men to try secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I was not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting out the gate, when it was dark, the men went out, whither the men went I was not certain of the king. Pursue after them quickly, for he shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them to stop the flat. She had laid an order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them and went to Jordan as before. And as soon as they were pursued after them and gone out, they shut the gate. Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is all upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land is in the For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, beyond and off, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that I may have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life is for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be. And the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by the cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get into the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of thine own, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when you come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou hast left down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be to feed in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any man be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thy oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she found the scarlet line.
Thank you, Janet. And that was long, but it was well read. Let's also read from Joshua chapter 6, and let's read all of the verses from 17 to 25, Joshua 6, verses 17 through 25. And Joe, did you want to pick that up?
17.
Let's start at 17 and read all the way through 25.
Okay. The city shall be under ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of them. And make the camp of Israel curse and bring trouble. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, to the edge of the sword. How far?
25.
Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there, and you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. They burned the city with fire and all that was in it. Only the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab, the harlot, and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared, and she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers Joshua sent by his spirit.
Thank you, Joe. Well, Rahab. As we see here, Rahab was a woman, she was a harlot, and she's always mentioned as such throughout Scripture. Who else do we see in Hebrews chapter 11? What other women do we see in there? If you're looking at the notes, you see their names. We see Sarah, and we see Jochebed, who was listed as Moses' parent. So we see two other women in Hebrews 11. What is the difference? What is the difference between Rahab and Sarah and Jochebed? Would anyone like to comment on that? You know, there's clearly a difference between the woman Rahab and the women Sarah and Jochebed. Anyone just like to share their thoughts on the differences between these women?
Rahab was Jewish.
Rahab was not. She was not an Israelite. She was not Jewish. That's right. Anything else? She was a prostitute. Yes, she was a prostitute. You had Sarah, who was, you know, the wife of Abraham, and not a perfect woman, but a morally upright woman. Jochebed, who was also a morally upright woman, an Israelite, a believer in the true God. So we definitely see some differences of this woman Rahab, who has made it into Hebrews 11 as a picture of a great person of the faith. She and Abraham, she, Rahab, and Abraham were mentioned as the two remarkable instances of being justified by works resulting from faith. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 21 to 26. Turn to James chapter 2. Yes, Ernie?
I think it's pertinent that she was not Jewish. And she's a harlot. Different societies, for example, in medieval Europe, under the feudal system, if your lord banished you from your land. You were part of the land, like a tractor. If you and your family were banished, no other word would take you in. You have no choice but to become an outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
So in our society, an outlaw is something different than what may have been in the feudal system. In fact, he was not Hebrew in Hebrew society, as opposed to a Moabite.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. A harlot in one society compared to a harlot in another society. We seem to always measure social standards by what we know, and it's different. So that's why.
And even in her society, being a harlot, she was probably an outcast as well in her own society. I mean, she had her own place on the wall. She wasn't living in her father's house. She had her own place where she did her business. And
for example, in Asia, in Japanese society, it's not looked down on. It's not like what we...
No.
It's a different measure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They probably was the least questioned place for them to go. You know, the most like Ernie said, the safest place for them to hide would be. You know, why are men going to a house of a prostitute? Okay. So it'd probably be least questioned, but it became known, obviously, that they were there. Let's look at James 2:21-26, some great verses for our lesson. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and Scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, and let that sink in the same way as Abraham was not Rahab what? Rahab the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. As we read that passage, think of the disparity. I mean, you have Abraham, the father of the faith. And who's being equated with Abraham? Rahab. Okay, I mean, you know, I don't imagine that the Hebrew women taught their daughters, when you grow up, we want you to be like Rahab, you know, but I'm sure they all were teaching their sons about Abraham and his great faith. And then James, as he does throughout his book, I mean, it just sticks your face in it and says, you know, Abraham, Rahab. I mean, just two, at least in man's eyes, totally different ends of the spectrum. But as Sam was talking earlier with me, God's no respecter of man, okay? You know, and it's God's grace. And we see, you know, yes, Abraham, an upright and godly man in the sight of men. And then Rahab, you know, everything to the opposite. But they're both justified in the same way. And James using justified by works, but if we look back at James 2:18, someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by the works." So again, the fact that Abraham was justified by his works, meaning that his works demonstrated his faith. Okay. They showed his faith. Okay. He was not saved by his works. He was not justified in a saving way by his works, except that his works showed his faith. Abraham taking Isaac and presenting him as a sacrifice showed his faith. Rahab taking in the spies and giving them refuge, and then continuing to proclaim her belief that their God was the God of both heaven and earth, and then going through and interceding for her whole family and applying the scarlet thread to her house, which we'll talk about later, being a picture, just as the Israelites applied the blood to the doorpost of their house at the Passover. This scarlet thread, when judgment was coming upon Jericho, she by faith put that scarlet thread there, which pictured the blood of Christ covering her, and not her only, but her family. I mean, just some incredible faith of a Gentile Jerichonian woman who was not of Israel. She's one of five women who are named in Christ's genealogy. We find that in Matthew 1:5. Okay, let's look at that. That's really neat as well. I mean, we have Rahab the prostitute in the genealogy of Christ. That's just amazing. I was reading this morning an article on Rahab to kind of get a little background on her and see what's written about her. And there's actual Christian scholars and Jewish scholars who make the argument that the Rahab in the line of Christ is not the same Rahab who was the harlot, because they just can't see a harlot being in the line of Christ. Yes?
They don't refer to her as a harlot.
They don't. You're right. This is the one place they don't. And it even said in our notes that she's always referred to as the harlot in Scripture. That's right. That's a good point. But this is the same Rahab. But yes, that is a great point. See, I've got to be careful, because it says right here, Rahab, a woman, a harlot, always mentioned as such. It says that right in the notes. So, excellent point. Verse 5, Matthew 1, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. So that being said could lead some to believe such, and I would take that and then go study the time and the who was alive at the time and how all of these fit in to see if that was the Rahab. Yes, Ernie?
And, well, is there something? Ruth was also not Jewish.
Right. Ruth was also, she was a Moabitess, right? So we see here that she was one of five women named in Christ's genealogy. And again, that's a real big thing. I mean, that she is part of, she was brought out of Jericho, and I'll say into the Israelite community, even though they kept them on the outside, and became She was taken in and became part of the line of the Messiah. Previously in Hebrews 11, we saw the faith of Abel, of Enoch, of Noah, of Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses' parents, and Moses. And now another woman, a woman alone, a heroine of faith. Yes, Ernie?
My point is that in the Hebrew tradition, you don't mention Ruth the Moabite.
Mm-hmm.
Probably would also not mention
Rahab the harlot. Okay, that's a good point.
It's a very big deal that she was not Hebrew.
And the fact that she is mentioned in an equal position as Abraham by James would, as a harlot, would seem to affirm that she is the Rahab here in Matthew 11. I mean,
it's not talking directly about her, it's talking in regards to her.
Right, right. The background. It was time for Joshua to lead people into the promised land. Jericho stood in the way. It was a large cosmopolitan town of its day. Joshua sends two spies to spy out the situation. They lodge in Rahab's house. It says by accident, it seems. We know God's providence in all this, and God's sovereignty, and God working all things together for the salvation of his elect. Her house was built against the wall, it says, with the roof probably even with the top of the wall. The king of Jericho hears that the spies are there and tells Rahab to turn them in, to turn them over, to bring them out. Rahab hides them under the flax on the roof. Tells the king they have left. We could spend a whole class discussing lying and concealing and not revealing to someone in authority over you. And again, when there's a time of war and time of an unjust ruler, is it acceptable to do that? And we're not going to go there. But there's that could, we could spend a lot of time on that. But it does say that the fact that she took them in and that she hid them and that she preserved them and then helped them out was all an act of faith that demonstrated, that justified her. You know, that was a work of faith that justified her, that demonstrated her faith. She asked them to spare, to save her family. She let the spies down by a rope, a scarlet cord or a scarlet thread, and tells them to go out and hide in the hills. The spies learned about the fear of the people. Remember when Janet was reading that the people of Jericho knew about the wonders God had done on behalf of the Israelites and through the Israelites. And what did it say? It's really, really neat. Their hearts melted within them. For fear. Their hearts melted for fear. The hearts of the people of Jericho melted for fear. Jericho falls. I'm just kind of summarizing the account. And Rahab's family was saved. Later on, Rahab goes on to marry Salmon. Salmon, who was a prince of Judah, and as we read in the narrative of the line of the Messiah, that Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz is the father of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of King David. And then, of course, we know Christ being of the line of David. So she married Salmon, who is not only a prince of Judah, but also is in the line of the Messiah. Again, she was a woman who was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite, an enemy of Israel. Reading the article on her, breaking her name down, the first part of her name, if you break the syllables apart, what's the first syllable?
Ra.
Ra. And what is Ra? Ra is a god of the Egyptians. That's right. One of the demonic gods of the Egyptians. So she's named after an Egyptian god. She was an Amoritess, a race and seed which was devoted to destruction. She was it says here, a Jerichoan, a heathen, a harlot. Yet she was God's elect. She was God's elect. She was chosen by God, not only for the purpose of being of protecting the spies and giving refuge to the spies, but also unto individual personal salvation. Okay, she was chosen in a corporate way, but also individually unto salvation. So we see the sovereign God at work here. His grace is no respecter of persons. His power, and it says here that she was saved before the spies came. Let's take a look back there at Joshua 2:11. Joshua 2:11. Joshua 2:11, it's interesting that this verse is referred at demonstrating that she was saved before the spies came. It says, "When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you." And then we see the words, okay, she heard, okay, and we know that faith comes by hearing. They heard the report of what God was doing. And the verses before tells of that in the victory over the Egyptians and over the two kings of the Amorites beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og. When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you, for the Lord your God, and here it is, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath, which is a profession of her faith. It's a statement that those words are justifying works for Rahab, demonstrating again her faith. So using that verse and making the statement that Rahab was saved before the spies came, she heard about God, about His grace towards Israel, and she believed in the God of heaven, the God of earth, the true God. His providence. He sent the spies to His elect. We see in this God's providence that He sent spies to His elect. Okay, the spies going, and where did they end up? They could have went to anywhere in the whole city of Jericho, but they went to Rahab, God's elect. None in Rahab's family were believers. She had no means of knowledge. She didn't have scripture. She didn't have the prophets. But she did have the account that all of Jericho heard. And just like when the gospel of Christ is preached, many, many reject it. And few believe. Wide is the gate that enters into destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and only a few find it. Okay, she heard it, she believed it, and then God sent the spies to her. She came upon fact of God. She said, "We have heard. what he wrought for his people, Joshua 2:10. She believed that God was. She believed that no power could stand against him. And she appropriated him. She appropriated God for herself. And Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Again, I would again focus us on James 2:25 for a verse that tells us of her salvation. James 2:25. In the same way was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Okay, right there, a clear statement that Rahab was justified the same way as Abraham was, that she was saved, that she was justified, that she was reckoned as righteous, just as Abraham was, and she could also be called the friend of God. Rahab's faith rested on the truth of God and on the truth of gospel coming to Christ. Rahab's faith reckoned on character of God to fulfill promises to undertake for her. I mean, think of that. She was raised up in Jericho with all the other people of Jericho, and they had faith in their wall. I mean, Jericho's known for the wall. Okay, and you know, you can't take this wall down. There's no way any man could take this wall down. And remember the account that, you know, there weren't, can't think of the word, catapults. Yes, there weren't catapults. There weren't big battering rams or anything that were used. But what did the Israelites do? On 6 days they marched around the city, and on the seventh day they marched around it seven times in a big shout, and God brought the walls down. God brought them down. I mean, she was raised to have faith in that wall, and that that wall was their defense. And what did she do? Instead, she believed the promise of God that the wall was going to fall, and that if you appropriate the blood of Christ for your house by putting this scarlet thread in your window, you will be saved. Okay? I mean, just amazing. The right. It is, and until you study it, when you just kind of read it, you may miss it, but when you take a little time to study it, it's like, wow, that's really neat. And the fact that the spies knew of the Passover, they didn't experience the Passover firsthand because they were probably the next generation who would have experienced it probably as children, I think, if anything, but I don't think they were the adults that came out of Egypt, because that generation died in the desert except for Caleb and Joshua. That was it. So these were young men, and they probably were at least children when they came out of Egypt, but probably were even born in the desert, and so they knew of the Passover by the account of the Passover being shared, but they took that blood on the doorpost and applied that to Rahab. Just really neat. She risked everything to undertake to serve God. She risked everything to serve God. I mean, risking everything. Okay. trusting that the wall would fall, trusting that that God was going to give Jericho, believing the promise that God was going to give Jericho to the Israelites. She risked everything. She gave up, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? And this resulted, her faith resulted in courage, again, receiving the two spies with goodwill. She could have easily said, go hide up on the roof, and then she could have said, they're up there, you know, and she would have been rewarded. But what did she do? She hid them, and then she helped them out, and then she directed the military people of Jericho another way, sheltering them at risk of her life. She explicitly followed their directions, and she had to stay behind when the spies left. Okay, she stayed in Jericho. You know, the spies told her, stay there and you will be saved. And she might have been thinking, wait, if the city is going to be destroyed, I want to get out now. You know? But she stayed there. She believed God, even though, again, Jericho was considered impregnable. She believed the Israelites would have the land. You know, again, she heard that. She believed it. I'm going to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 18 through 21, and talk about faith coming through hearing. Romans 10, we'll read 18 through 21. Let's start in 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. There's a lot going on in this passage, and in it, Paul's making an argument for the gospel coming to the Gentiles, and for Israel rejecting the gospel. But we see, again, in verse 17, you know, faith comes through hearing, hearing the word of Christ. Faith came to Rahab from hearing. We see her statements. We have heard. We have heard. She heard the good news. She heard the gospel. She heard God's deliverance of his people. Okay? And verse 18, look at the question there. Surely they have heard, have they? Okay? Did all of Jericho hear? All of Jericho heard. Okay. All of Jericho heard. Okay? Again, they all heard the gospel. They all heard of God. Okay, but only one person, the remnant, only one person of the remnant who was in Jericho opened up her arms and received the Israelites. All the others, you know, trusted the wall and trusted that their wall would hold up against them. So the gospel came. One person believed. Okay. One person believed, and the rest rejected. They all heard. They all heard. Their hearts melted within them. They all heard, but only one believed. We see here, she believed. She believed. And then there's a contrast to the unbelieving Israelites. we're contrasting that here in the last statement, contrasting that to the unbelieving Israelites. Many of the Israelites didn't believe. I can imagine that when God commanded Joshua to march around the city, and then on the seventh day to march around it seven times, there were probably some of those among Israel saying, okay, what are we doing? Let's march around this, you know, let's go and take it. Let's go and break down the wall. Let's go and get the catapults and, you know, burn it down or something like that. And you know, I can't help but forgive me for this, because we had all the VeggieTale videos, and we still have them. My kids were young, and the one was called Josh and the Big Wall, and you had, forgive me that I even know the characters' names, Jimmy and Jerry Gord were saying, let's get the Wallmanator, Jerry, you know, to go in the big weapon they had built to take the wall down, and they wanted to take it down with the Wallmanator. But, you know, little Josh, who was, I think, Junior Asparagus, led the Israelites around and did it God's way, and the peas were up on the wall making fun of them, and the wall came down. But, I mean, interesting that I remember it so well from that. But they were, like Wayne said, there were probably many among the Israelites saying, what are we doing marching around the wall? But then Joshua, and we don't look at the faith of Joshua here, but the faith of Joshua to lead and follow God's plan, even when it seems like it just doesn't make sense at all.
Think of it. We look back on it, and we know the story, and we don't think anything about it, but how insane. I mean, they didn't know what was going to happen. They had no clue what was going to happen. Okay, so, you know, they're walking around, and probably a lot of them are feeling stupid, and they're being jeered at by, you know, inside the wall, and they have no clue what's going to happen. I mean, you talk about faith.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like you said, even probably many following and saying, the whole time they're marching around, and many of them saying, we're nuts, we're idiots. And then seeing, but after seeing, or at least hearing of the power of God in dividing the Red Sea, and then also remember, wasn't it when they crossed to Jericho that again God parted the waters? I forget what the waters were called, but he parted the waters for them, the Jordan River. He parted the waters, or he held them up, and they crossed again before Jericho on dry ground. You know, I mean, just another great stamp of God that, you know, I am with you. Joshua's my man, and you're going to follow him, and he's going to lead you. You know, all those great acts of God to demonstrate that he's with them. Okay, back to the lesson. Rahab acted on faith alone, had no support, no help, no sympathy, no understanding, no encouragement from anyone on earth, meaning anyone in the city of Jericho, which was her whole life and community, all the people she'd ever been with. She did what God appointed for her to do and was willing to suffer loss of everything. This is a valid and a vital faith. God always gives faith an opportunity to be manifested, not only Rahab's, but also ours. God can and does use the faith of a woman whenever, wherever, and however he pleases. He uses anyone any way he chooses. And a review of some of the women God used in Scripture. Jael drove the tent peg through the head of, I think it was the king, who was resting, came into her tent. She gave him the milk. He fell asleep, and she drove the tent peg through his head in the battle. And she was, I believe, could be wrong, she was the king who was the enemy of Israel looked on her as an ally. And she, by faith, drove the tent peg through his head, killing him. Deborah, who was a judge, in the time of Judges, with Barak into battle. The woman of Samaria, who was the Samaritan woman, who was the first witness. Jesus, I believe this is the account of John chapter 4, Jesus at the well. And come meet the man who told me everything I've ever done. And remember what he had told her? You've had five husbands already, and the one you have now is not your husband. Talking about being released from the guilt of your sin, to be able to proclaim, come see the man who told me everything I've ever done. I mean, that's just amazing salvation. And then going and bearing witness like she did. Mary, the only witness to the resurrection, meaning that she was there when Christ first appeared. She was the first one entrusted to the gospel. Go and tell is what she was told. Then Mary, of course, through the virgin birth of our Savior. Galatians 3:28, there is no difference in Christ. There's neither male nor female. Romans 16:1 and 2, we read of Phoebe, a servant of the church, a helper of many, of myself, says Paul, and then saying, receive her, give her reception. You know, she is a great servant of the church. Romans 16:3, Paul writes, greet Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, noting that Priscilla is mentioned before Aquila three times out of the six times that she's mentioned. Romans 16:6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Philippians 4:3, women shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. Psalm 68:11 speaks of women who proclaim the good tidings. Numbers 6:2, both men and women made the vow of the Nazarite consecration. We read of women as prophetesses to proclaim a divine message. Of Huldah the prophetess in 2 Kings 22:14, of Anna the prophetess in Luke chapter 2, 36 through 38. At the time of Christ's birth, we read of Philip's four daughters who were prophetesses in Acts 21:9. A woman's love must always find something to do, for it is beloved. A woman's love must always find something to do, for it is beloved. It is beloved by God. Rahab bore the responsibility for her whole family. She had a father who would be the head of the household, yet she was chosen as the instrument of their deliverance. God often uses the weak and foolish things of the world to bring glory to Him. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1:27. Rahab, considered as a little, a nothing, a nobody, a harlot, she had her heart changed by God. She lived by faith. She pleased God, and she was used for God's glory. And she was a forerunner of Christ, as we had mentioned earlier. By faith, Rahab the harlot. Again, Hebrews 11:31. In the last section of the class, I'd like to again just think back through what we've read, what we've discussed, what we've looked at in class, and think of some of the themes that we see in the account of Rahab, some of the things we see happening, kind of in the bigger picture, not necessarily just her faith and the taking of Jericho, but in the big picture of Scripture, kind of in the biblical theology, like, you know, we've talked about how the scarlet thread is similar to the blood on the doorpost in the Passover, and how that pictures Christ. There's some other themes in here I'd just like to ask, and maybe I'll prompt a little, but if anyone would like to share some before I start prompting, go ahead, Ernie.
First of all,
well, that's okay. You can go somewhere else, too. Say that again. Out of the Catholic faith, yes, sir. Ernie, speak loud, because the air conditioner and stuff. And
there's always a point of contention, the position of Mary, and it really is. It can be quite a problem, both properly and improperly. But one thing that was amazing to me is the position of Mary. I think Mary may be the preeminent Christian of all time. When the angel came to her with his proclamation to her, and her reply to that, I have to understand she has not been
her humble reply.
One of the most amazing passages in all Scripture, and it's something that both men and women alike should really say, "Wow, look at the heart of this person." And I can't pull that up right now. It's one of the Gospels. I can't remember which one it is.
Luke.
It is. If you get a chance, it's all read it. It is really one of the most amazing all of them.
And Mary proclaims that all generations will call me blessed. I mean, I like the point you're making, is that she's over exalted in the Catholic Church. Obviously, the fact that they pray to her and even look to her in a divine way, over exalted. But at the same time, maybe, you know, not put on the right place in the Protestant Church, an overreaction to the opposite direction. She is called blessed. So yes, Mary is a great example, and her words in there, Ernie, demonstrate that.
It is Luke 1:46.
And that says. Luke 1:46. Oh, okay. Okay. Back to some themes in the account of Rahab. I'm on the last page in that little white space at the bottom where there's nothing written. Yes, Janet. Another woman.
And Mordecai got there, of course.
Right, but another woman of the faith, you need to talk with the writer of Hebrews and the Holy Spirit about leaving her out.
And many more.
And many more, right. Many more. Shall I not mention...
There you go.
Right. Yes. Right, and she was, where was she at? She was in a pagan land, in a pagan palace, and she knew that her life was at risk. I mean, she knew that she was good as dead going into the king. Joe.
The thing that, of course, one of the things that is here is this is her
verse where God says, "My ways are not your ways, my ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts."
My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Because if I were trying to figure out a plan of salvation, I wouldn't be able to.
You wouldn't have plugged Rahab into the line of Christ, would you? And you're no, but like Sam and I were talking before class, Sam says, you know, it's important because we are Rahab. We are the prostitutes. And we don't look at ourselves that way, but you know, we have prostituted ourselves, Ernie.
I think in that respect too, as Americans, we do not appreciate the difference between the royal bloodline, which was often used in its defense, but the sovereignty of God. I am your sovereign king because the sovereign God made me your king.
Mm-hmm.
You are nothing but cannon fodder. Because and the important part of that is those people believed that. They believed that they were nothing. You know, and the royal people believed that they were the standard bearer of all
things.
Mm-hmm. And we, as Americans, we don't get that.
No.
And this, you know, this is kind of reiterated here, but we don't pick up on it as we should.
Definitely.
Because we live in such a different society that most of the world still exists today.
Yeah.
Really.
Right. Think of all the kings in the Middle East and all that area. Yes.
If you playing about to ask a question, when did Rahab marry
Sam? Solomon? I searched both Rahab's name and Solomon's name this morning preparing, and there's not a great amount said about either of them, but I mean you could move ahead and project forward and say, okay, they took Jericho, they began to settle into the promised land, and so obviously sometime in that time she came and became connected with Solomon and became his. There's not much of an account of their coming together or anything like that, no.
But there's Boaz, so you know, in the book of Ruth, Boaz.
You have a generation after and a lot written about that, but before that, it's not covered, so.
So I guess the assumption is she stopped her profession.
That's the assumption, yes, yes. That when she was saved, when she was brought out of darkness into light, when she was made part of the covenant community, she gave up her profession and even enough so to marry a prince of Judah. I mean, that's just amazing to think about. Yes, sir.
You can go now you're looking at the generation previous to Boaz, so therefore that would be Naomi. And remember, Naomi left the promised land to go in the land of Moab because of the famines in that generation. So you're going back.
Her generation.
Her and her husband and her two sons. Ruth was.
Right, Ruth was. Yeah.
Married to one son. So they had left the land because of.
The famine.
Because of a famine to go into the land of Moab, and then their sons died.
You could piece a lot of it together, but yeah, yeah. Let me just hit on these themes, and then we'll close before the big crowd rushes over and starts picking up their kids. Another theme that we see here, we talked about the scarlet the scarlet cord. Remember, the gospel came to the Philippian jailer, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, he and his household. And we see that going on here with Rahab, that not only her, but her household. And she taking that lead for her household. And her household was saved from another picture that we see here, of the picture of the judgment coming upon Jericho, picturing the end time judgment, okay, and the elect being saved from that judgment. A lot of pictures here. You also see that picture of judgment with Lot and him being delivered. Another picture, and closing on this picture, the gospel to the Gentiles. Rahab being a Gentile woman, and the gospel coming to the Gentiles, and the fact that the whole earth, we read in Romans, the whole earth has heard. Well, you know, how have they heard? We know of general revelation, and we know of special revelation. They had general revelation, the Jericho people did, but also they had special revelation about God that came through the account of God delivering the people from Egypt, through the Red Sea, from the kings of the Amorites, I believe. So we see a lot of themes in here again, and it's always good to keep them in mind as we go through these Old Testament accounts, studying the faith of the fathers and mothers of the faith, but also to keep them in mind, because when we see that, we see how these accounts apply to us. We see that the Old Testament is not merely a historical document, but that it is a part of redemptive history, and it applies to us, to our salvation, to the church today, and how it has value. So let's close. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for... thank you for Rahab. Thank you that you love the unlovely, and that you have loved us while we were yet sinners, giving your Son Christ for us. Lord, again, through this study of the fathers of our faith, Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith, that you would sanctify us, Lord, that we would glorify you in this world by loving you and loving others. In Jesus' name, amen.